wondering about all these farms. It was the Maestro with Rav Yochanan Kamenetsky. One time he gave shir in Torah Vadas, and he said over a lot of raid, very unusual for him. So they asked him why he gave shir that way that day. He said because he had a chasana that night, so he wasn't able to prepare like he used to. He really couldn't give pshat, you know, like he usually does. Okay, so first I thought that, you know, it's a good thing that that Rabbi Kier asked me just, you know, on the spur of the moment, so that it'll be real, you know, not comparing a whole Gantz and Russia here. But then as the time started getting closer, I realized, so one second, you know, you have to try to, you know. Anybody know? No, let's see. Who can do it? So I did try to make some organization here. But not for the sake of a nice presentation, just to organize my own thoughts. So now, of course, you know, oh, thank you very much. Now we have a...
It's working.
Oh, yeah. Of course, we have a very close, you know, family connection here, a couple of ways. But we don't have a personal connection yet. So we have to try to sort of overcome that barrier by allowing for some good interaction. So I thought that maybe a good way to start was by presenting a few questions. Took me a little while till I got to clear myself. So I'll read to you what I wrote down just in the hope that it will be coherent. So the first question is, what do you hope to gain from yeshiva? The next step was, what should or hopefully could be that hope? You might have something you hope to gain, but maybe really it would be better to have a different kind of goal. So what is the really desired goal that we should have from yeshiva? This is meant for people to answer, but not just yet. What can I reasonably expect the yeshiva to provide to me? Or what is the main thing that I'm hoping to gain from yeshiva? Yeshiva could provide a lot of wonderful things, but it's important to have an idea in our own mind. What is the ikur? What is the most important thing that I'm hoping to gain? And I guess you could even broaden it to say, like, what should be my own personal goal for myself? What am I trying to achieve? And how could yeshiva help me? In the same kind of way, what should I be aiming to try to achieve for myself? And how could yeshiva contribute to that? And of course, in all of this, it has to be very real and personal to myself. Like, it wouldn't be adequate to say, well, I read in a sefer that this is what it's supposed to be. If it doesn't really, I don't really connect to it. It has to really be something that I could understand and relate to and feel. Otherwise, it's not going to really work so well. You know, like, you know, somebody who I trust very much tells me that this should be my goal and this is the goal of the yeshiva. But if I don't understand why, if I don't get it, it's not going to be so successful. I just saw on this a very interesting sefer that's was in the room where I'm staying, Rabbi Kier's house. Nothing is by accident, you know. That the Satmar Rebbe of Yom Teitelbaum, Zecher Tzal Livracha, said in the name of his father, the Kedushas Yom Tov, that the ikur, this is just meant to illustrate this last point, that the ikur of learning is that when someone learns Taisus Kasha, he should have the kasha, not just Tosis asking it, which I trust Tosis. Some of the kasha is good. No, it becomes that it bothers me. I see how it's shver in a real personal way. I want to know the answer. And then when Tosis gives an answer, it should be that the question is answered, not just that Tosis says this and I trust it. Maybe I understand it a little bit, but of course there's levels and levels. The goal is that it should be that I'm satisfied with that, I'm convinced by that. So in the same way, in terms of our personal goal and what we should hope to gain from yeshiva, any yeshiva, also this yeshiva or any yeshiva, so anybody want to start the conversation? It's a very select group.
Isn't part of Rebbe's questions where the answer to Rebbe's questions is the questions? I mean, you're trying to, the point of being yeshiva, part of the being yeshiva is to answer the questions.
That's a good angle. That's interesting. That's very cute. Yeah.
You don't necessarily know what the answer is until the end of the end. And you're like, oh, this is my goal. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Wow. Okay, that could be, and it could be that there's unlimited levels of understanding any particular question and answer. But in order to properly engage in what is available in the yeshiva, when we come in, when we enter, we have to have some kind of a, well, I can't say we have to. I could be in yeshiva just because, well, that's the place to be. Where am I going to be? In a public school? Okay, in the college. So, my friends are here, okay. There could be all kinds of good reasons. But in order to maximize the experience, the chora makes sense for us to have some kind of goal in mind at the starting point. The more that we could learn. If anybody is here and, you know, they wondered, ever wondered, I would hope they would come to their beam and say, Rebbe, teach us. Why are we here? What's this for? And how are we going to accomplish it? If this is any sort of a, like, comfort, so to speak, I think you can see in the Sefer Derech Hashem that he holds it's like very valuable to have an understanding of how things are working. Like he presents the idea that the beginning of the Nagdama, the Sefer, is a lot that we can't, hard to understand, but we could pick up this idea that it really is kedai to know how it's supposed to work in order to maximize the benefits. So that applies to the whole Torah, that applies to specifically yeshiva. So it's okay if nobody wants to speak. Who doesn't get taken for granted, you know, in years ago? That's like a better environment, you know, to be Yerushalayim is yeshiva, as opposed to outside, you know, in the secular world. Much less temptations in yeshiva. No guarantee that, you know, everything will be okay. You know, these are creeps everywhere. But, okay, that could be. I mean, go into a whole list, but I don't know if that's so kedai.
It doesn't apply today also, just to be yeshiva, just
to stay
from.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
And the Nisiyah, there's also, I would assume, more today, so that you need yeshiva more just to stay from.
Yeah, no, it definitely helps very much for that. But again, the question is, let's say you wanted to try to convince somebody, or there was somebody who was a pretty intellectual person, let's say, you know, somebody you could talk to on a high level. They've been around, but they're not satisfied, and so you want to present to them something that Shiva has to offer in a unique kind of way. Now, if we don't have that to tell to somebody else, then we sure need to get it for ourselves. We all need it. We need it every day. And there's probably many, many levels on which we could achieve it. So, in a certain sense, we're all in this together. And we really have to find for ourselves the goal, which is that's really fitting to be the proper goal, but in a way that we can relate to it, that we can connect with it. I mean, like, let's put it this way. We know, we may not even know what's out there or in there. We may not even know. But who knows? We may be pleasantly surprised if we search a little bit. So it would make sense not to just live on autopilot. Because if I live on autopilot, I might miss a lot of good stuff. So now, of course, there's shelfuls and shelfuls of sfarim, you know. Someone's going to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to learn through all the sfarim on the shelf in order to amass all the knowledge of Torah, in order to decide, you know, what it means to be a Jew and what my goal should be. That's not going to work so well. So I guess you could say, like, we all need some help. Sometimes it comes through special siyat d'shmaya. I'll tell you a hilarious, but also almost like maddening, tragic story of the Kleisenberger Rebbe, previous Kleisenberger Rebbe, when he was in close contact with Dr. Hirsch Fried, who started Petach, the first special ed school for children. And the Kleisenberger said to him, you have to teach your Talmidim all the basic fundamentals of Emunah. Everything that somebody needs to know to be a Yid, you have to teach them. So Dr. Fried said, but even the regular yeshivas are not teaching that to the Talmidim. So why do we have to teach more than the regular yeshivas? So the Kleisenberger said, no, a regular yeshiva bacher, he's going to have to one day look up something in the Rambam, Hilchos Geneva, and he'll go to the shelf and he'll pull off by mistake the Rambam Chelek Aleph, and he'll open up and he'll see, oh, look what's here, Hilchos Edea Torah, Hilchos Deis, Hilchos Tshuva. So he'll find out already, you know, he'll teach himself. I don't know what to say after this, but that's the story. It's imprint. So he'll find it already. But your Talmidim, they're not going to be doing that. So you have to teach them everything directly. So we have to hope that the Eibishter has led us to the right shelf to pull off, the right sefer or svarim. That we shouldn't be finished there. We should keep on pulling off more good svarim and looking. You never know. Look, I pulled off this one. I found some very nice stuff in there. Kira has too many svarim in the house. It's just like, it's too much. I couldn't decide which one.
The dangerous one.
Gave up. Okay. So.
It's an incomplete thought. But why should I?
So I want you. Okay, Rabbi said, I want you to stop and think now. I want you to stop and think. Well, let's say this is like make it like a shear, and we're asking a kasha, a bomb kasha on Tosfos, and everybody is able to have something to answer this kasha. That's the presentation. I want you to stop and think and ask yourself, what is Yeshiva Be'ikar supposed to give me, and why is that important? I'm not saying you can't be or don't have that, but it'll be a lot better. It could be a lot better. It makes sense. It should be better.
It's an incomplete.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. Since I'm switching to the mode of trying to very strongly encourage people to stop and think about this, you have to give them a chance. If somebody hears a good answer, they may not think more on their own.
I have no answer. I only have a question.
Okay, then it's fine. Okay, go right ahead.
It's an incomplete thought, but why do we have to specify an outcome or a goal of what I have to get from yeshiva? I'm in yeshiva because MS dictates the right thing to do for me, and why do I need to specify what outcomes are better for that? I expect that what comes my way when I do the right thing for me is what Hashem would expect, is what Hashem gives me that's right for me.
Okay, so let's say, I think it's reasonable to sort of compare to the beginning of Mitzvos Nesharim. It says, there has to be a Yesod of Chassidus, has to be a Shairish of Avodah Tmimah, to which a person should place my
potoy umegamosay bekolashir omil koli mechayev. Why? Why does it need to be something that he's focused on, with unbroken focus, aspiring to try to achieve in everything he's doing? Just let him keep the Torah, do the mitzvahs, and the mail, it's going to come out. In order for everything that's supposed to happen, it seems like there's a need for him knowing what is the goal that he is supposed to be focused on.
A higher resolution goal than your focus in the world?
As opposed to just like doing whatever it says to do. There's...
Okay, but the goal of doing Chavasa Balamo isn't enough. You need smaller goals. You need smaller steps.
I won't know what to stress. I won't know what to emphasize. I won't know what to put my heart and soul into. I think it's going to sound a little bizarre, but let's say, you know, part of yeshiva is, you know, having Shabbos meals together, good zmirais. So maybe somebody thinks like, okay, like, I come to yeshiva, you know, and I come to the Shabbos meals, and I sing zmiris, so I'm doing fine. But that not to minimize the yeshivas of meals and Shabbos and zmiris. It's a good feeling, it's very important, has a role to play. But say there's something very major is lacking, if that's his major involvement. So whatever is the ikur, what I'm trying to ultimately achieve primarily is what I should try to position myself for. So I guess they're trying to build a very big pyramid. So you have to lay a foundation and, you know, layer upon layer until you can reach that top of the pyramid.
Question.
What?
That answers your question.
Oh, but we didn't say yet what the pyramid is. What is that? What is the mitzvah of that pyramid? Right. What is that made out of? Right. What is that? What is on the top of the pyramid?
The top of what is? It's everything.
Okay,
else
but that's that okay, but that's in a general sense. Yes, of course. The Sanag al Hashem, Avada. But what is the role that yeshiva is playing in the process of this Sanag al Hashem?
An answer, but like, I mean, probably like based off like what I've read in like Moser Sfarim and what I've heard Rebbeim say, but a lot of what like learning Torah and being around Rebbeim help you with is being able to like, you know, cope with challenges and just be an overall better person. So that's what Rebbeim is doing.
Okay, 100%, definitely. But again, the question will be, is there a specific way, is there anything that's primary in the coping with the challenge?
Yeah, everything's important in yeshiva. The muster is
important. No, again, if we understand better what is the substance of the copage with the challenges.
Yeah,
what do you use to cope with the challenge? What do you use?
No,
what do you what gives the power?
So maybe
where's
different.
Where's the battle point?
So maybe there's different aspects. I mean, learning helps you with maybe thinking straight. And like,
sorry?
Learning helps you think straight in different situations.
Okay, thinking straight.
Moser,
that sounds interesting. Okay.
It takes a while.
Anybody want to, you know, weigh in on that? Anybody agree or disagree?
It's different.
About thinking straight?
It's
anybody different. Want to disagree with thinking straight as an important goal in the Shiva?
Think like a lambda.
Now I know what that means. Think like a lambda. I'll tell you what I thought that was when I was younger. Lambda was like some kind of like a woo kind of thinking, like really cool. I was skimming through the stipend to find like where's the lambda part? This Kamara, that Kamara, who cares? Where's the lambda part? Then, okay, I'm just jumping the gun, but we'll come back to it. Maybe in my next visit, who knows, you know. There's no rush here. It's okay. It's okay just to start the process. And, you know, there are plenty of good people here to continue it. And like I say, maybe, you know, I'll get invited back again. But my first blatch here was, of all sugyas, on the sugya of Hargival Yavar. It was a very short blatch year, just as like preparation for the Pilpash year. I don't know how the Shiva thought that blatch would help us for that Pilpash year, but ostensibly that's what it was. It was a 3-day blast year as a preparation for the Pilpish. And we learn Rebbe Chaim, the Shia focus mostly on the second part of Rebbe Chaim, and the Blasher focus mostly on the first part of Rebbe Chaim. I didn't know what happened. Rebbe Chaim is supposed to be Gishmak, you know, Gishmak, beautiful Kedushin, Rebbe Chaim, Gishmak. The Shiva sucked all the Gishmak. It was like, Mamish made Rebbe Chaim like any ordinary safer. I was like, what did you do here? Like, what happened here? Like, what have you destroyed Rebbe Chaim? Like, it's supposed to be wonderful, beautiful, amazing. It was like dry, schwer, we didn't have shot, we stuck. I mean, I was interested, it was quite an eye opener, but like, Geschmack, no Geschmack, Rebbe Chaim. That was my introduction to finding out what learning was about. That was like when I really started like hopping something. Like, oh, Taka, I have no clue. Okay. But I didn't expect it to come that way, you know. So where are we? So, okay, so thinking is straight. Okay, I mean, it's sure better to think straight than to think crooked. That's for sure.
It's the preparing.
Oh, why is that so important? What's that going to do for me? I won't be krum nebuch. I won't be nebuch krum.
To make decisions.
Okay. Make decisions.
But I'm saying, when...
You're supposed to like marry the wrong person. Yeah, that could be very bad. Okay, what?
I'm saying, when you leave yeshiva... So you're going to be faced with many challenges, like we said, in the world.
Yeah.
And how are you going to know which way to turn? How do you know which path to go down?
I know, 100%.
So yeshiva, I guess, is 100%. Hopefully able to prepare you 100%. For these situations, and you'll be able to make the right choices.
No, good. No, that's very good. That's very important. So I don't mean to, like, chas v'shalom, to minimize it all. The question is... Okay, we need to put a pause right now.
Can I add on to something what you were saying over there?
Sure, sure.
The London, the idea of being a London is, whatever a London is, but you're supposed to be able to think properly when you're a London, and be able to analyze the situation, analyze Mar Malcolm, and be able to learn it like a London, whatever that means. That is, even in life, if you have that ability of that analytical ability, you have to analyze something and act upon it in the right way, whether you're a chinuch or anything, be able to analyze the situation.
Everything in life. Right. Anything you're learning, anything in life. But what is the real ultimate goal of that? What is the real ultimate goal?
To be happy.
What?
To be happy.
Can't go wrong with that. So what's the connection? What's the interconnection? Because if I make bad choices, things go bad, and then I'll be sad. If I make good choices, then things go well, and I'll be happy. What? No, that's not what you mean?
No, I'm not saying from the thinking straight.
The yeshiva is supposed to help you to be happy. Because it's such a happy place. Okay, but then what's going to be after, you know? If I can keep it just my chaverim, oh good, you know, if we still live together, you know, so then it's good. Keep it going. About that. But, man, you can't really mean that. That's what the substance of yeshiva is. Good day to, like, have a nice life. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. Halavai, you should be that way, you know, all yeshivas and taka, it's supposed to be. But to say, like,
what's the Rebbe's question?
I mean, like, there could be a lot of things different if that was the goal, you know. We have a lot more dancing, a lot more singing.
The people who come out of yeshiva the way the yeshiva is now are happier. Oh. So whatever.
Okay, so do we have havana of what enables them to be happier people? What is that made out of? What's the content of that happiness?
What's
Rebbe's
question?
Well, the main question is, what is the role of the yeshiva? And what is the value of that
goal, that result, thinking straight, being a lamdan, being happy, reach your potential. That's very broad. So we need to try to be, to specify more how the yeshiva relates to me and my potential.
Give you something to live for. Teach you what to live for.
Okay.
And why you're here.
So reach, okay, to live a good Jewish life. And yeshiva is going to give me a good foundation in many ways. Many ways. Is there anything that we can identify as being primary? Yirah Shemayim, Eved Hashem. Okay. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, without yeshiva, it's very hard to acquire Yirah Shemayim and become an Eved Hashem. That's no doubt about it. And there are a lot of things here, definitely, that are contributing. I think. What's kedai to really like add to the question is, what is the yeshiva offering that a person is not capable of accomplishing by himself? What is it that's not within? So, okay, that's true. Yeah, there's a good environment. They asked the Chazon Ish, like the Rambam says about running away to a midbar. Where's the midbar? He said yeshiva is the midbar. And it can be very positive in many ways. Good chaver, happy, positive, yeah, 100%. But is that really the ikur? Do you really hold? If I ask you, do you hold? Maybe it's shy, maybe it's not shy to know yet. It's okay. There's no taina, you know. That's like, you know, tiny, like, oh, this should be pushes. But we have to ask ourselves, really, Al Pi Emes, what is the real, what really makes most sense to us is what is the ikur of what yeshiva is trying to give.
Well, you wouldn't be able to get that.
But with that which you cannot get. Which you cannot, which someone cannot possibly.
You can't get the Misura on your own.
Okay, you'll forgive me. That's much too broad, or undefined.
Meaning, there's a different generations. There's a way to live a Jewish life in a certain, right, as we would say.
Well, why can't you get, if somebody comes from a very good Jewish home, he can get a lot.
He can get.
Okay, again, right nowadays, you know. Shiva takes the place in a large degree, but to say that Jewish life can only be passed on by yeshiva, or the yeshiva's ikur contribution is through the passing on the Masorah of how to live as a Jew. I don't know. For some people, the home, Baruch Hashem, could do a pretty good job of that.
I mean, nowadays, Most people that go into yeshivas, they don't come from a background where that's conducive.
Okay, right. In a chanami.
But again,
that's something that somebody could pick up by visiting people's homes. You know, you can go to a lot of homes in Yerushalayim.
What are they giving?
And see, you know, Jewish life in its very good form, and you could learn. You know, you could learn a lot about it.
I can spend time with the doctor for like my entire life, but I'll never know what he's doing 100%. I'll never know how he came.
So how will you get to know what the doctor's doing?
By opening the book and having the doctor teach it to me.
Okay. So what is the doctor teaching you that you can't know from the book?
Well, two things. He's teaching me, first of all, how he learned it, which is the right way to do it, because we believe that it comes back from our sources, it comes back from roots that's passed down from generation to generation. So the way to do it is partially through one person telling it to another person. And also, just, it's not necessarily, it has to be this way, but it just, as almost like a side point, but experience. They can teach you from experience what works and what doesn't work. If I go about it myself, then I'll make 1,000 wrong ways because I don't have anybody experienced teaching me what to do. But if I have someone experienced, I'm going to say, oh, maybe you'll make the incision over there. He says, no, I tried that 1,000 times. It doesn't work. You should probably go over here. And then I'll be able to.
Okay.
Teach you how to apply that information.
Okay, good, good. It's getting late. Okay.
Is he right?
No, no. What's holding me back? I want to say what I'm thinking, but I don't want to be like giving a speech about it. I want to chop it in a way that we could see it, but it's not so simple to see it.
I think they saw it because they didn't figure it out yet.
No, 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 no. It's not shaykh too. Okay, we're going to go all the way back. When Mesillas Yesharim says, Adam le nivra el les anegal Hashem. What is the real, ultimate means by which the person is misanegal Hashem? What is the ikur aspect of that achievement of anegal Hashem? What above all else enables a person to be misanegal Hashem, which is the purpose of his creation from Hashem's midas ha-chesed, to give him the maximum good? What is the ikur that gives a person the einigal Hashem? That's a good idea. Go ahead, anybody else? That's another way of saying it, so that would not be okay, but it's too broad. Okay, anybody want to try? Go ahead. The schar is the einigal Hashem, but what is the ikur component and what is producing it? Living your life through the Torah. Yeah, living your life through the Torah is a very major component. But amazingly, the Navi says, "Bezoyis is halil hamis halil, haskil v'yadoya oisi." The way the Navi Yirmiyah finally defines it is the teal of a person is the knowing Hashem. The ultimate achievement is in das, and even the maisim is all contributing to the hakaras Hashem. And the Ramchal and the Chelek Antar, which is kedai to see, Derech Hashem, says that the highest form of connection to Hashem, the Yibishta connected to the Torah, and it's lefi haskala, to the degree that a person understands the Torah, is the degree that he receives that peak form of Hano, Dveikus, Shleimus, etc. And I have to share with you a little piece in the Rambam. I came across this not so long ago and wondering, like, where was this hiding for, you know, a lot of years. This is the Sefer HaChinuch, but in the Sefer Mitzvah, the Rambam is the source of it. The Pasuk says there's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem, to love Hashem. But Chazal are concerned, how can a person love Hashem? But the Torah gives the answer. These words should be upon your heart, says the Rambam Sefer HaChinuch. Inyan ha-mitzvah shenachshoiv v'nizboinein b'pikudav u'puloisav. We should think and delve deeply to understand Hashem's commandments, meaning the Torah. One of the other Rishonim is Lashon Ma'amorav. I think Rabbi Yehuda Bechai is Lashon Ma'amorav. U'puloisav Hashem's deeds. The Rambam in Yad HaChazak and Yisrael Yatar talks about the Fulois HaBari and the Bria. Anshin Nasigeyu Kfi Yicholteinu. Till we reach understanding of Hashem according to our ability. Vinis Aneg Bahas Bahasa Gosoi, it should say. b'tachlis ha'oinig, and we will derive the maximum pleasure in that reaching understanding of Hashem. The zayisiyo ava hamuchuyeves. This is the ava that a person is muchuyev in the mitzvah of v'haftas Hashem alakacha. And it says later, what does it mean by al vavecha? Shem yitaychka chleima shem hisbayinus b'teira tisyashe v'ava b'leiv b'hechreach. Through this zbayinus in teira, the love of Hashem is going to come per force. That sounds like a very high goal, right? To reach a kind of a understanding of Torah that will be of such pleasure to a person that it will perforce carry with it Ava for Hashem, who is giving him this Torah, who is the Baal of this Chachma. But the Sefer Chinuch says, Kifi Yicholteinu, according to our ability. And this mitzvah is for every person. That means that every person has a share in Torah of such a nature that they will have such a einig from the chokhma of the Torah, from the beauty of the Torah, from the depth of the Torah, from the yosher of the Torah, from the chesed of the Torah. You'll see the chesed in everything. A little bit. Chazanish writes, there are some parts of Torah that a person can only understand if his midas are refined, because it's so delicate that if the midas aren't refined, the blocks from being understood. So what must that be all about? It's a reflection of the midas of Hashem in halacha, that only about midas could be masakit. So, and every person has his share, has his portion. The Chofetz Chaim in Shem Olam, Perek Yud Gimel, he writes Barichas, you know, he explains the pasuk. Kibat Moinim Tach Pesena. Every person's chelik and Torah is like a treasure that's buried within him, and his neshama is buried there, and he has to dig and dig and dig to get it out. So what do we need to find? And he says that the way I can know where my chelik is what I'm drawn to, what I have an interest in. So what do we need? We need primarily a good axe and a good shovel to be able to do the digging. Or better yet, a good laser beam to do the surgery. So that requires a very happy environment, so I can be relaxed and think benachas. But it also requires something that's helping me reach understanding of what was previously not in my reach. That's where the role of the Rebbe Talmud relationship comes in.
You can't get that from a sefer?
No, you can't get it from a sefer. You can only get it with some very good communication. Oh man! Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I was in Eretz Yisrael as a older Beis Medrash guy. We didn't even use the word branching yet, but that's what it was, branching, with the Bar Yosef Ginsburg. And we knew when the Yeshiva would come, we'd get a chance to talk about some of the Pilpa Shurim that were given previously. That we got the tapes of it. Okay, first I have to give you the whole scene. Yeshiva comes into the Beis Medrash. We're sitting there, you know, learning Bacharusa. Yeshiva pulls up a chair. Helps on the chair. Okay. My boy said, what's the problem with the chair? Just, you know, the three of us together. So I thought maybe it's easier if we go into the office. It'll be a little quieter. I said, maybe we can go to the office. Yeshiva didn't send a shliach to say, you may now see the Yeshiva in his office. He hopped in. Okay. So we went into the office. Now I'm trying to define Hezek Ria. Hezekiah is not simple to define. That's all I remember about it. And like, you know, back and forth. It took a while. I thought I heard something. That was, you know, one good occasion that I thought I heard something. Sometimes I just couldn't get it, but okay, it's, you know. So sometimes took a few times around. But I sure couldn't have had it on my own with all the best form. There's no way I could have hopped it. They asked Baruch Haber this question, actually. What do you need a b'chaim for? You have so many good svarim, k'sayis, nesivis, Rabbi Kevager. So Baruch Haber was stumped. So what did he do? He went back and he asked b'chaim the kasha. So it's a mega friend. I was not from the Rebbe. K'sayis, nesivis, Rabbi Kevager. So Rabbi Chaim said, the ikur of the Rebbe is to know not what to say, but to know what not to say. To know, I had Chavetz Chaim with Rabbi David, you know. Taiz Kasha and Rashi. David said, because like I say, a teretz, he gave a pshat teretz. Good, David, good. And he was very, you know, young and energetic and brave and courageous, and he offered another teretz. So, no, teretz. Chavetz Chaim said, no, not like that. No. Maybe he didn't hold the lum so much, or maybe it wasn't really such a good teretz. When Reb David left Radin for Slabodka, Maftali said, I have no more Torah for him. They said, what? He knows all your chedushim? He said, no, but I gave him the keys. Now he has to unlock all the oitzros of the Torah. But he felt that he really got the keys. How long does it take to get the keys? Reb David was 19. For us, it might take longer. It's okay. It might take till we have our, you know, own charusas, even after yeshiva, or own talmidim, even after yeshiva. Or who knows how long it might take. Or maybe it's never ending. Because maybe the keys are always still developing. Maybe that laser machine is not in one fixed state. Maybe it gets upgraded and upgraded, able to see more, better, more truthfully what Hashem, who Hashem is, what the Torah is. And the barometer will be, are we experiencing something of this nature? But for that to happen, we need to establish the starting points where the Rebbe and the Talmud are interacting at the point where the Talmud's capacity has reached its capacity on his own, and the Rebbe could help him see, of course, without too much help, because it makes it too simple. The only thing that she was worried about with the writing of the Birchas David was one thing only. It shouldn't be too clear. Chas v'shalom. That was the only thing he was worried about, and very worried about it. Baruch Hashem, I gave a number of pieces to Rabbi Kenarik to read over, his language isn't, and he said, not to worry, reassure the Shiva, it's not too clear. That was the only thing he was worried about, it was shouldn't be too clear. So he asked him to put it there, somewhere where you could get it, but there has to be a starting point of where the Talmud is at. So whose job is it to establish that starting point, or to identify that starting point? On the one hand, you might say, well, of course, the Talmud has to come and show the Rebbe where he's holding. But he might need help in even being able to do that. He might need a lot of help to be willing to do that. So what do we need in order to be an environment where I'm willing to show exactly what I know so far and where I'm up to, so that the Rebbe can know what is my next step? Because this will take place when that's what happens. When I'm seeing something entirely more than what I could see on my own with the help of someone a little more advanced, then I'll see something beautiful. Then I'll see something amazing. Sometimes it could take a long time. I'm sure we're pacing for days. That was when we had 18 sessions on. Maisa Chalais is coming this year. You'll see, it's coming. Yeah, Maisa Chalais. After all said and done, Macharis asked me, do you hear anything? I said, maybe 25%. But then some years later, I thought I started hearing a little bit more, and then we did it in yeshiva, and one of the chevra there was pretty good. He said, he sees there's something going on over here between the Ksais and the Sivas. He sees there's something here. So that was very encouraging. Like maybe we got to a place where we had some shaykhs of what was going on. But it's okay if it takes a while, you know, 7, 14, 21, 42 years. It's okay, so it's worth it to get the Ksais and the Sivas, to be in their company, to hear their conversation. Chaznish writes, person has to learn through the Indian, being medayik in things that are very technical, not geschmack at all. But then there comes a oyer that the seichels misanig beloy kates. That's what he describes it. I think it's the second letter. Comes a oyer. He's not talking about, like, you know, only somebody who's super Baal Mechadish. He's talking any person who's learning, and it becomes clear to him, and he gets a sense of what is Shor HaMazik. It's like, it's frightening. There were some things that she was like scary. It's like, he can't mean that. Oh man, yeah, he means that. I don't know if I understand it anymore. Who knows? I hope I didn't just fool myself. But for that process to take place, we have to be fully empowered. That's not easy, you know? That's not easy. Dhammam talks about how the Talmud should ask. Maybe everybody in the Shir got it. One Talmud didn't get it. He doesn't have a solution what the rest of the Shir is supposed to do when that Talmud is asking. He says he should ask again. The Rebbe shouldn't get upset. The Rebbe gets upset. The Talmud should say, Rebbe, Tairehi, Velumul Anitzarich, Vedaitik Tzara. So everybody practice, say it over a few times so you have it ready. Rebbe, Tairehi, Velumul Anitzarich, Vedaitik Tzara. The Abriska Maimer, a footage from the Rambam. I know. So, how many times the Talmud have to ask? And is the Rebbe Mukhiyev to answer? Anybody want to take a shot? How many times? What's this year? So probably a lot of people know the Maisa of Reb Preita, you know, 400 times. You think, oh, maybe that's the Midas Chassidus. Reb Preita is a tzaddik, and that Talmud is such a, some also a big tzaddik. But the Mashah in Sanhedrin, that tzaddik Aleph, don't ask me how I found this, but somehow, the Hilchos Talmud Torah, a whole story. Hilchos Talmud Torah, I think the Bria Gro brings it. It says, Ko hamineya halacha mipi talmid ki ulegoizla minachlas avoisav. If you hold back and you feel a Talmud is not roi to be matzliach, you are robbing him of his Yerusha, of his family inheritance that's his from Sheshes Mebreshes when the Bria was made for Yisrael Sheyaske B'Torah. Every person has his own chelik and Torah. Says the Mashal, what kind of Talmud? Like Reb Preda's Talmud, who needed to hear it 400 times, and then, of course, that one time, another 400 times. And if the Rebbe says, he's not Roy, he can't do it. He's goizla, nachlas avoisa. It means that everyone is Roy for my chelik. Look, as Sefer Chinuch says, kifi yecholtoi. Because there's infinite levels, of course. We're not going to be masik to Hashem in the Torah like the Arizal, like the Ramchal, like Rav Tolya Amsterdam came to Besol Salam, and he said, Oy Rebbe, if only I had the head of the Shagas Aryeh and the lave of the Yisrael Yisrael Shavoida and Rebbe's Midois. Can you imagine that scene? And Rebbe's Midois. Then I give you Oyver Hashem. That would be a real Avodas Hashem. Mishraal says, I hope you know already, but I can't help but say it over. Nei Naftali, the Yivishter wants your head, your lave, and your midas. Your midas, your lave, your head. And when they asked Rabbi Yisrael, I heard this from my Zaydas, I think. When they asked Rabbi Yisrael, your Talmud Reb Simcha Zisal, they wouldn't spend so much time on Musar, coming in Ovid Hashem. He would be so much bigger in learning. So is it really Kedai? Shra Bishrael said, tell me, if you have two chalas to make a bracha, one is very big chala, like you know, by the Shei Brachas, by the Chasana, but it's missing a piece, a decent sized piece. It's still very big, but it's missing a piece. Or you have a little challah that's shalim. Which one do you make the bracha on? So of course the shalim. So Mishael said, "Vais techais besser klein nor ases ganz." It's better small, but it's shalim. That means it's b'shleimus. His chelik in Torah is b'shleimus. He needs to work a musa that the Torah should be b'shleimus. So it's a smaller chelik. It would be much bigger. But this is his true chelik. Each person's true chelik through his ability. But the Chassam Sofer says the ikar of the limud of the Talmud by a Rebbe is that the Talmud shows the Rebbe two things that it looks to him are the same, and the Rebbe shows him the chilek, the split between them that spreads out to who knows what. It means it's the skill. There are a lot of skills. The skill of reading, the Shiva said, the ikar of what we're teaching is reading. How to read, to read. I mean, until you see it in action, you can't know. So you look at the Ma'ar Makom, you don't see anything there, and the Shiv reasons like, whoa. Whoa, did I sure miss that? Or maybe next time I won't miss it. But what does that come from? It doesn't come from, it's not magic. It comes from reading it over and over and over. I tell Bill, you can't even dike until you know Baal Peh. So that's a lot of reading in order to be able to even dike properly. But and of course, you have Svara. But Svara, I have to know for myself, do I hear or don't I hear? Do I have an opinion on this? If I come to everybody and I say, I have no clue why it should be one way more than the other, and the Kash is not more shver to me than the Teretz is good. So then I'm not learning Svara from this, because to me, the Teretz is more shver than the Kash. I have no sense of any judgment of how it should be. So that's premature. It's too soon. And there has to be something where I am able to see, okay, what did I think Tosis was asking? I once went to speak to Talmud Rav Naftali. He had a koil in Yerushalayim. His name was Rav Aaron Bial Stutsky. He was known as Rav Aaron Brisker. He told me Rav Naftali used to pair shiur with a group of the best Talmidim. They go through the Rishonim and the Rambam. And then Rav Naftali would start saying Mahalchim. First Mahalach, second Mahalach, third Mahalach, fourth Mahalach, fifth Mahalach. The fifth final Mahalach is what he said as the shiur in the yeshiva that he spent the whole week on. Like one or two yesaidis. He said if they would have printed the Havminim Mahalachim, that would have been the best shiurim in Europe. So I asked my simplicity. So, why was only Havmin of Halachim? That would be the best shiur in Europe. Why was only Havmin? That should the first shiur should have been the Maskana. Fine, best shiur in Europe. Rav Tully was Margish. That's not the emes. That's not what the Rashba is saying. That's not what the Rambam really is saying. So, it could be somebody that, like, you know, I have a pshat that seems good. Okay, but somebody with a little more experience can show me. It's not. Not as good as it could be. You could say better. Go back. Try again. Come back again. Could it be Rabbi means this and this? Oh, yeah. That's what I meant. Oh, very good. Okay, you're getting it. You're getting it. So that means that needs real communication. That means I have to be okay with wherever I am. It doesn't matter who somebody else, where they are, what they can do. It's totally irrelevant. To somebody, Alamai, it's hard before you have a chelik. Once somebody has their own little chelik, it can be small, it's not going to matter anymore. It's just until that point, it's hard. But we have to have the faith in the Torah that we have our chelik. There's a kayach in a person of a love for a chachma. That's a zeh chachma, alayim mikol adam. Person to learn from anybody, somebody younger, somebody less than me, or whatever it might take in order to gain the chachma. There is in a person the kayach of appreciation of the chachma of Torah that I am right for, that every person is right for. So We have to access that.
How does
try to like discard everything else that's just totally unimportant, and that has that cannot compete with it, even Olam Hazeh, let alone. And that will give us the real feeling of our own comfort. The Rav says on the Mishnah, "Zeu Chacham, Haroi Shes Hal B'Chachmosai." He says, "What does it mean? Zeu Chacham?" He ties into the pasuk, "Al Yisal Chacham B'Chachmosai." There is the Chacham who could and should feel the covet of his Chachma, the upliftedness, the exaltedness, the beauty that's within himself of the Chachma. What kind of Chachma? If it's pure L'Shem Shemaim, if it's to really understand, when it's connecting with Hashem, when it's Das Hashem, if it's just to be a Baal Gaiva, then it's not helping him to know Hashem. But if it's because he really wants to understand, then it's a Chachma of Haskel V'yadaya, then it's a Chachma of knowing Hashem, then he can feel that covered within himself, and he should feel it. And that covered will be outweighing, outdistancing the battle, anything else of superficial nature, especially because nobody really is thinking about me anyway. So it doesn't pay to care.